Trisk to the rescue! Ba-ba-da-ba!
0% financing right now for 72 months at Bill Curry Ford on 2023 F-150s. This is an exclusive offer at Bill Curry Ford. The great Curry family is buying down the interest so you can have this incredible money-saving opportunity. And there are many, many other great deals. Go to BillCurryFord.com. BillCurryFord.com. GM Sean Sullivan, he's the big boss of the entire dealership. And he loves Bucks fans. He is one, and he wants to help you personally. So ask for that Ira Kaufman discount or the Joe Bucks fan discount. It's the same thing. Just hit up Sean by email or at the dealership, BillCurryFord.com. Nationwide lifetime warranty on all new vehicles. Don't forget that 0% financing offer. They've got tremendous inventory, all kinds of specials. Anybody in the car business knows this is the best time of year to buy a vehicle. Bill Curry Ford. Do not wait. Big Storm Beer is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Big Storm Beer is Florida's best craft beer. So many greats. The Palm Bender IPA, the Bromosa, their Tangerine IPA, Wavemaker Amber Ale is the original. See them all at BigStormBrewery.com. Tap rooms in Odessa off State Road 54 on Success Drive. In Orlando at the Amway Center, they're open even when there's not an event. Easy access there. Clearwater, the flagship location, beautiful inside and outdoors, covered patio like nothing you've ever seen in the Tampa Bay area. That's on 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton Road. And Ybor City, Centro Ybor, upstairs. And they've got great specials to watch all the games on Sunday in Clearwater and in Ybor City. You can always see those at joebucksfan.com over the weekend. BigStormBrewery.com. Bucks fans, here he is, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. It's always great to introduce Ira and Sage before we turn to you. Florida's Elite Restoration is where you need to turn when you have a disaster at your property, in your home. You call them 24/7 or you go to floridaseliterestoration.com and you learn about exactly what your next steps are, which is calling them, getting a free evaluation at your property, and using them to fight off your insurance company who's not going to want to pay you what you've earned, what you've paid for to get your property restored. They take the shadiness out of the business because they are fighting for you. Josh Martin and his team have decades of experience on the insurance side of the business, which means they know all the games and all the tricks, and they help you with that. They're your offensive coordinator when there's fire, flood, mold, storm damage, whatever it is at your property. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Don't wait. And if you mention Ira when you first call, if you need their services after the free evaluation, they'll give you $500 back. Maybe that's for your deductible, or maybe that's just cash back if you pay cash. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. All right, so here is the man of the hour, Ira. The state of the Buccaneers is a very important question right now, because I got to think, I know the Sage quite well, that game was one of the worst games I've seen in a long time. Yes, it was fun. Yes, it had a little drama. But did the Bucs really look better than they did against Atlanta? Where's the state of the coach right now? I know you've got a column that just popped on the end of the line for Baker Mayfield. He can still salvage himself. But where are you, Ira, on the state of the Buccaneers?
Well, I'll say this, Steve. It's been very murky for most of the last couple of months. Very murky. People don't know what to make of the Bucs. Should they go after the division title? Should they do this? Should they do that? Should they draft a quarterback? Where's Mayfield? Where's Trask? Lee, I think everything comes into focus Sunday afternoon. And forget all the nonsense about every game is as important as every other game. Forget that. This is the game. This is the game. Win it, and you're in it. And there won't be big changes until possibly the end of the season. Lose the game, 5-8, two games behind the Falcons, swept by the Falcons, add to another layer on top of it in terms of a tiebreaker. It's over. They're not getting into a wild card. They're not running the table in the last four games. They're going to have a losing record. Lee, the theme of my column, I don't think there should be much debate. Lose this game, and I want to see Kyle Trask. Lose the game, and I want to see Kyle Trask. You got nothing to play for. Mayfield is who he is. He's not bad. He's not the answer. Lee, it's a 10-to-1 shot that Trask is the answer. But you gotta take that shot. Four games. Now, this is all based on the Bucks losing Sunday. They're underdogs. If they win, I think they're a little bit galvanized. Two-game winning streak, momentum, coming home for two games after the Green Bay game. And then I don't think the Green Bay game would be a killer. It wouldn't even be a killer if they win. But, Lee, I think this is the game that defines the way that the Bucks go the rest of the year.
I will go on record, and this will upset the Trask cult, barring Todd Bowles being removed. And the Glazers have never done that. And I don't believe in betting against never. Barring Todd Bowles being removed, you will not see Kyle Trask start a game so long as Baker Mayfield's healthy. I just don't believe it. He doesn't trust him. From what I've seen over 3 years of practices, I don't think Trask has given him a reason to trust him. And Bowles knows, he knows, he's got to know, every win is valuable. Even if they don't have a winning season, every win is valuable. And I don't think he's going to commit Harry Carey, not the Budweiser drinking baseball announcer. He's not going to commit Japanese suicide. And by the way, you know what the Trask cult starting to remind me of? Not all of them, but some of them. There's some guys that comment on JoeBucksFan.com. I mean, every comment they have is Kyle Trask, nothing else. And so these people, they remind me of, you ever see these videos of World War I shell shock victims where they're shaking uncontrollably? And that's what these people are. Just they shake uncontrollably all night and all day long. And if you had audio, you'd hear them, Trask. Trask. That's all I care about.
Ira, I got an important question for you because you put quite a scenario out there. If Baker Mayfield plays pretty well against the Falcons, if he plays well and they lose 28-26, what do they do with Mike Evans? They look him in the face and say, even though we can still go 9-8, even though we're still mathematically alive, we're not putting the best quarterback on the field, we're not trying to win, Mike, but please re-sign here because that's where we are. I think that's a problem. I don't know. What do you think, Ira?
I think Lee made a very astute analysis, but he left out one thing, a crucial thing, and it's part and parcel of my argument. It might not be Bowles' call at 5-8. It might not be Bowles' call. Bowles' call is to stick with Mayfield. I don't disagree with you a bit on that.
You don't think he would say, as long as I coach, I get to say who goes on the field? If
no.
You don't want me to coach, then you got to remove me?
No. No, why would he do that? He's never going to get another job if he does get fired. So why automatically try to get fired? Lee, there's always a chance. There's always a chance that Trask does a good job. There's a chance.
After 3 years, if they had any confidence in the guy, number one, Mayfield wouldn't be on the team. Number two, they would have played the guy by now. It's pretty clear to me, Bowles just doesn't trust him.
How are you going to have confidence, Lee, in a guy that's thrown 10 NFL passes? I mean, 10.
I agree with that. And that reinforces my point. You know, everybody thought Trask was, you know, possibly going to be the starter. And I'm like, Bowles wasn't going to put his career on the line for a guy that had 9 pass attempts. And then you flip the coin, what coach is going to come in here? I know that you'll find somebody because there's only 32 of these jobs. What decent candidate is going to come in here? He's forced to play Trask.
Well, Lee, my point is, if Trask, you know, doesn't sparkle, and he would really have to sparkle, and if he doesn't, under my scenario, they got to draft a quarterback.
I agree with that. So
that's Steve. That's my point. And to say that you can't get a good, young offensive coordinator to come in with a good quarterback prospect, I think that's nonsense. Tampa's not a bad job. And I'm not talking about getting a quarterback in the fourth round either.
Well, I agree. Yeah, I'm just saying Trask. I mean, if you look, hypothetically, let's say the Glazers and Light make a move and they, you know, they tell Bowles, thank you, goodbye, here's your parting gifts. What I'm saying is if you talk to, let's say, Bobby Slowick or Ben Johnson or name your number one or even Belichick,
right?
You say, oh, we'll hire you, but Trask is your starter.
That's what I'm saying.
Hey, Ira, look, as far as that goes, I understand your point. Fans will understand your column for sure. that this is the end of the road. And so, and it could continue, of course, if they beat Atlanta, and Atlanta's not a very good team. It's going to be interesting, I think, with the Buccaneers' run defense that has sort of fallen apart. Atlanta's going to try to run it down their throat. That should be very interesting. But Mayfield has said many times, Ira, you've heard him. You've heard him say he loves the underdog role. You've heard him say he loves playing on the road. You've heard him say my whole career has been being about my back against the wall and having to prove myself in a tough situation. He's obviously healthy. So this is it. This is, I think, the perfect scenario for Mayfield. Everything's on the line against a team you can beat. Now go beat them. I'm eager to see what happens here, Ira. But my question for you is, Sage, with Todd Bowles, the fans hate the guy. I mean, the confidence poll, it was like 91% no or little confidence today, even after a win. I think it's a couple of ticks worse. And I think that speaks to that they kept the Panthers hanging around. Do you think he's just flat out done unless he goes 9-8? Beat Atlanta this weekend, go 9-8. Is he just straight up done?
Well, Lee, you noticed that confidence poll, except for this week, where they didn't play particularly well in a win, the Bucs,
no,
against a bad team. But Lee, usually it bumps up quite a bit after a win for Bowles. Usually, and at least you get people in the middle section, you know, confident, not very confident, but confident. I said weeks ago, I'll stick with it, Steve. I think he needs a winning season. And at 5-8, I don't have any confidence that they will win the last four games. I think they'll play out the string. Guys will realize the season's over, and it will show in their play if it's not already. However, at 6-7 and a share of first place in this wretched division, they'll have a lot to play for. But at 5-8, I think the Glazers step in as realists. They're not dummies. They're not pie-in-the-sky people, Lee. You know them. It is what it is, and that'll be the conversation. And I'll throw this out to both of you guys. If that discussion happens at 5-8, I'm not sure where Light will be on that situation, because, Lee, isn't it true that part of Light wants to check out Kyle Trask? Isn't it?
I don't know. I don't know what to say here. I can't
you,
put
you
it
said,
in words.
You said you noticed marked improvement in Trask. You said that.
I've noticed marked improvement, no doubt about it. But that doesn't mean he was better or worse than Mayfield. I don't know what to tell you. You know, like, I won't say the guy's name, but we all know him. He used to hound me about Trask. And finally, I just told him, I said, look, man, if I thought Kyle Trask was that, I'd be screaming bloody murder for him to play too. I said, and he finally cornered me and goes, well, what's he look like to you? What's he look like to you? I said, honestly, I don't know if he's any better than Ryan Griffin. That's the God's answer. Now, he made a monstrous upgrade in 6 weeks. And that's to Canales. That's great. But I don't think people understand or realize where he was making that upgrade from. I mean, we're talking 10 feet deep. And he made an upgrade where he pushed Mayfield. Now, whether you think he was better than Mayfield or not, I mean, I don't even know. But I knew that Bowles wasn't going to play Trask. I just knew that. This is common sense. His career was on the line. He wasn't going to go with the guy with only 9 attempts. I don't give a damn where he played college. It wasn't going to happen. I'm being dead honest here. You know, I don't know if he was better than Mayfield or not. It was close to even. And you can flip a coin in my eyes that I saw. And what are we talking about here? If he's even with Mayfield, and this is a quarterback-rich draft, I mean, come on now.
Aren't you making my argument for me?
Yeah, I think he is.
No, I'm not, because I don't think he'll play at all.
But just from the training camp side of it, Lee, you had said that you weren't sure if he was equal with Mayfield or not, and if he is, what are we really talking about? Well, I think that partially makes Ira's point, is that if he was neck and neck with Mayfield, and Mayfield's out there, and statistically in every other way, he's probably the 15th best starter in the NFL, then if Kyle Trask can walk in and be the 15th best starter with a ton of potential improvement from experience, you might have something.
Well, all I know is that Mayfield's got experience. Trask doesn't. That's why I said earlier. That's why Bowles is going to go with him. And I'm sorry. I've seen maybe 60-some practices of the guy. Fortunately, I can't see practices. No one can see practices unless you work for the Bucs this time of year. I just don't see it, man. I don't know what to tell anybody. You know, people say, oh, Gabbert sucked. Well, Gabbert was double the quarterback that Trask was. I'm sorry. I'm just telling you what I saw. And I'm not going to bullshit anybody. I'm sorry.
Well, here's another point, Steve. And nobody wants to mention this, but we're talking about Lavonnie David, who's banged up, and this guy, and this guy, and Carlton Davis, and Jamel Dean. Steve, guess what? The other side of the ball's been very healthy. Very healthy. Rashad, he's there. Evans, Godwin, Otten, Wirfs, they're all there, Steve. They're all there. And it's been a lousy offense for most of the season. Lousy. You want to blame Canales? You want to blame Bowles? Well, the guy under center's got to take his fair share of the heat. He hasn't been bad, but he hasn't, to me, Steve, shown me enough that he's the guy going forward. And I'm not making a judgment on Trask until I take a look at him. And, Steve, final point on this subject. Final point for me. If the season is lost, do you really want to go into an off season and still not really getting a look at Kyle Trask? I mean, that seems silly.
The last thing I'll say about Kyle Trask, I'm not saying he shouldn't play. I'm saying Bowles won't play him. And
may not matter.
Well, then I'm sure he'll have to be removed, because I wouldn't be surprised if it's in his contract who plays and who doesn't. I'm living in reality. I'm not saying, you know, romantically what should be. I'm just saying, here's what it is. And Kyle Trask, even if he comes in, and in a very, very small sample size, he looks good, that would not prevent me from drafting a quarterback in the first round. This is a quarterback-rich draft. And if Trask turns into something, and you got another quarterback that is already good, well, then you've got money to bank.
That's a whole other subject. I'm not saying they shouldn't draft a quarterback. I'm not saying that.
But I do have to throw a lot back. It's the same merry-go-round that we've been on for a long time here. A lot has to go back to the running game, because they clearly misevaluated Keyshawn Vaughn. They clearly misevaluated Sean Tucker. Chase Edmonds hasn't played very much since he's been healthy. He's done a couple of good things the last couple of games, but he's not really out there much. And Rashad White is, you know, he's doing a little better, but the running game's been so bad. I mean, I don't know whose fault that is, but I think it's all of their faults, frankly. Front office to Bowles to Canales, and, you know, not them not being able to coach up White to make some of the adjustments that maybe he's made a little bit in the last couple of games. I don't know. But what I do know, Ira, is evaluating players is critical to a head coach. Aaron Stinney is the full-blown starter right now, and it was made clear on the Buccaneers radio network that Filer is 100% and, you know, completely 100% ready to go, but they've just made that move straight up. So it begs the question, where was Stinney earlier? If you're saying how great the running game is, which is what they were actually saying on the radio network tonight, I couldn't believe it. I drove off the road. And so you put the wrong guard out there is basically what you're saying. And Bowles this week, I thought it was very interesting when he talked about Winfield. He went out of his way to say, oh man, it's so much better that he's out of the nickel spot now and that he's playing back at safety. Well, Todd, you took a Pro Bowl safety who people thought was a borderline all-pro-ish player, and you took him out of that spot. And maybe he would have won another game for you or two if he wasn't there last year. And now you moved him back. All Winfield is doing, I know Winfield, love Winfield, great to have the guy, but he is not playing better than he did 2 years ago. He's not. He's the same guy. And yes, celebrate a pick to end the game, but if he just slapped that ball down, or, you know, it wouldn't have mattered if he dropped it because the game was over right there. Bottom line is Bowles has admitted to screwing that up. And I kind of have a feeling, Ira, that Devin White's been fighting through an injury because Bowles didn't trust what was behind him. And in comes this guy, J.J. Russell, the other day, and it looks pretty good. I don't know what's going on with Bowles exactly, but I think there's been some misevaluation of the talent, and that would, of course, tee Lee up to talk about Chris Godwin not getting used.
Well, I was just going to say that, Steve. You also got the same thing on the other side of the ball, and I'm not pinning that one on Bowles. I mean, I don't think Bowles, Lee, told Dave Canales to change where Godwin's operating from. I don't think that happened.
I really wouldn't think, because nothing makes sense.
And they made a good thing, Steve. They messed with a good thing. He scored on the end around, thank God. But, Steve, you know what that obscured? He didn't catch one damn pass Sunday. Not one.
I remember when they targeted Godwin the second play on offense, and I told you as a guy would might as well sit down for the rest of the half.
I don't get it, Steve. I don't get it. Well, he's too good a player.
I got a theory on that, Ira. Godwin messed up his neck on Thursday. He admitted that it was a previous injury that he thought was completely behind him, and then it came up Thursday, and it was a real game-time decision. So, bottom line is, Baker Mayfield knew that going into the game. And that play Lee's talking about, the second snap from scrimmage, they threw it to Godwin, he dropped it. So imagine you're the quarterback and the injured guy comes out. You didn't even know he was going to play. He can't turn his neck all the way, allegedly, earlier in the week. There's no evidence he couldn't do it on game day, but he drops the first pass. You're probably not going to want to go his way. And if you look at the film, I've looked at it, there's at least 2-3 times where the guy's open and Mayfield doesn't go to him. And I have to wonder if part of that was Mayfield.
Yeah, I don't mind them feeding the ball to Mike Evans because we see the results. But you're not going to win a lot of games with a one-man offense. And as good as Evans has been, I got to have more guys involved. Now, White's running the ball better. Like, we got to acknowledge that.
Well, define better. You're not wrong, but define better. You know,
he ran well in the Indy game, and he ran well Sunday. He did. You got to, you know, we've been on the guy all year, so the holes have been better. Got to say that. As far as Stinney, Steve, it's not like, you know, this guy's not Will Shields. Let's not go crazy. Obviously, my takeaway, Steve, is that Filer's run blocking wasn't very good. I don't think his pass protection was bad, Lee, but the run game sucked when Filer was in there. Now, it's not a one-man operation, as Todd Bowles always tells us. Lee, Stinney looks like a better run blocker than Filer. He does.
I agree with you. Real quick about White in the run game, what I saw Sunday was him actually bursting toward the holes. Whereas before, he would stutter step, he had zero vision. There'd be holes, I mean, right to his right side. One thing I did was barely turn his neck, and there's green grass. And he wouldn't go there. It just drove me bananas. So that's progress. Now about Stinney, and I'm going to open up a can of worms here. And I don't mean to, but I will by saying this. Do you think Stinney wasn't playing because he's dumb? What I mean by that is, the last two games, he's had two critical false starts. One of which probably cost the Bucks, or it may have cost the Bucks a game, I don't know, but it cost him 4 points in Indianapolis. And that is, to me, the dumbest penalty in the NFL is a false start. And especially on the 1 yard line.
Yeah.
You don't know what the freaking snap count is? Open up your freaking ears. And if you don't know it, ask the blankety-blank quarterback. That is beyond inexcusable. And he did it twice, two different games. And people get on Bowles, understandably. People get on Bowles about accountability. Well, you know what? If a guy keeps making dumb mistakes at the worst times, why is he on the field? So I just wonder if that was why Stinney wasn't playing. Is, you know, he does that more than we realize. And the coaches knew it. And they're like, well, you know, he's going to do something stupid, and it's going to cost us. I don't know. I'm just spitballing here.
I hear you. Well, you're not wrong about that play in Indianapolis. It wasn't a game wrecker, Steve, because it happened so early. I believe it was the first drive of the game. That's a 4-point brain fart, Steve, and you can't have that.
Well, I'm going to have to say this. Having watched that play many, many, many times, I don't think he jumped. I think it was just a bad call. So I'm giving him a pass on it. Canales last week even mentioned that too. He's like, well, from the way we saw it, he didn't even jump. And so that's what got me to go back and look at it. I think it was just a bad call. But this week, he did do it again. So he should have been hypersensitive and it was dumb. What they did in preseason, if you remember, as soon as Filer arrived in OTAs, they decided, you know what? We're starting Filer at left guard. We're starting Mauch. We want these guys to build as much chemistry as possible. No competition on the O-line. Werfs, you're in. Gedeke, you're in. We're going to get our five as tight as we can. And it didn't allow for competition, and I think it might have hurt them ultimately here. But, you know, we're splitting hairs on that. Sage, like you said, is not Will Shields standing over there. Ira, as far as the offense itself, I do have to put it on Bowles, just like I did last year. Just go over to Canales and say, look, get Godwin 7 to 9 targets a game. Otherwise, you're running laps on Monday. That's all. You know, you know what I'm saying? It's not that hard. Find a way to do it. You know, drill it into Mayfield.
Why doesn't Canales realize, Lee, at this point, 2/3 of the way into the season, that We got to get more out of Godwin. We got to get him the football. Why does Bowles have to overrule Canales on this? Well,
it's one of two things. Either we want to go to conspiracy theory, like a lot of fans do, and that's Bowles ordering Canales how to run the offense. Bowles constantly says he doesn't have anything to do with the offense. You know, I can't disagree with him. When we want to call the guy a liar without evidence, but you got to wonder, you know, everybody and their brother can see this. So why can't the head coach? Why can't the offensive coordinator? So it almost sounds like somebody's been ordered to run an offense a certain way, and that doesn't involve Godwin. I mean, what other logical excuse can you come up with? There is a third, and I don't think, you know, I respect Canales a whole lot more than this. If Canales really doesn't know how to scheme Godwin open, the Bucs have a guy on the payroll. He lives on a lake house in Georgia and golfs damn near every day. Get on the freaking phone and call the guy up. Say, Bruce, we're having trouble figuring out how to scheme Godwin open. Can you help us a little bit? Maybe give us a play or two? Just a little help? You're being paid. Can you help us? I mean, come on.
And Steve, you know, they've done a good job of springing Evans open.
Excellent.
Because I think Bowles said after the game, and it was something that Evans said to me during training camp, guys, you remember, I'm running routes I've never run before. Now, that was a hell of a line from Evans. I think Bowles repeated it on Sunday night, I think.
Oh, wow.
I got to give Canales that much, but, you know, now extend it to young Mr. Godwin a little bit, and I'll be impressed.
And on the telecast, James Lofton, who was on the telecast, had a lot of love for the routes that Canales had Evans running. And it wasn't like, oh, we talked about it in advance. It was in the game. He was like showing it on replay and how he loved the route concepts and things. So it's real. For those who don't know, James Lofton is a Hall of Fame wide receiver. And just before we move on, Sage, Rashad White, 10 carries in that game for 2 yards or less, Ira. And I mentioned this, and that we had a commenter, a Joe Bucks fan, who's like, oh, well, that's what Derrick Henry does. He runs for 2 yards 10 times and breaks a run. I was like, and who the hell aspires to have the Titans offense? You know, I mean, come on.
Can I say two things real quick? And this is about the offense and it's about Evans. Baker Mayfield said something Sunday night that really got my attention. He said something to the effect of was, he was scared to death that Evans' 1,000-yard streak would end with him. And think about that. That's pressure, man. You imagine going through your whole life. You imagine if people held that against Evans when it came time to discuss him for the Hall of Fame. Oh, so what? You got 9 years and 1,000 yards. He didn't do anything after that. You imagine him, but, you know, Mayfield would have to live with that for the rest of his freaking life. He lives in Texas, not all that far from Evans. And it's, you imagine that? I mean, I'm serious. That kind of burden you have to live with? Gosh.
No, and Steve, you're going to be pleased to hear this, Steve. I hope you're sitting down. This doesn't happen very often, but I got to eat my words a little bit, gentlemen. I've been chewing on you guys with Evans, first ballot Hall of Famer, a surefire Hall of Famer. And up until this point, I said, not so fast. Not so fast. 1,000 yards doesn't mean what it did before. I'm sticking with that. That part's true. But I've come around, Steve. I've come around. The touchdown total is extraordinary. The guy could play another 3 or 4 years, it looks like. He could finish with 120 touchdowns. I mean, big numbers, big numbers. The only thing he doesn't have, you know, what some of these guys do, like Andre Johnson, who's trying to get into the Hall. You know, they got 3 or 4 1,500-yard seasons. Evans doesn't have that, but that's not going to stop him. So, Steve, on December 5th, you've heard it from me. It's going to be hard to keep Mike Evans out of Canton. Is he a first ballot guy? Maybe not. Don't be shocked, Buck fans. It took a while for Rondé. It certainly took a while for Lynch. Might take 3 or 4 times around the block for Evans. But, Steve, on December 5th, I'm saying it. Mike Evans, Hall of Famer.
You know, with Baker Mayfield saying that about Evans, and I'm thinking about, you know, what kind of burden that would be if you're the quarterback where the streak was broken. You know, we're talking about Godwin not getting targeted. You think Mayfield, it's in the back of his head, I got to get Mike the ball. I got to get Mike the ball. I got to get Mike the ball. You think that might be part of it?
No, because there wasn't a lot of danger going into the last game or two that Evans wasn't going to get 1,000 yards. He was well on pace. You know, it wasn't like he was sitting at 600 yards with 4 games remaining. While Mayfield does want to make sure he's not the guy that ended Evans' streak. I never thought it was in jeopardy the way Evans is on a roll. I mean, for 5-6 weeks, Evans is on a roll.
My question was the whole year.
I think you can do both, Lee. You know, you're going to favor Evans because he's the best receiver on the team and the best offensive player in Buck history. Steve, I'm tired of hearing people say that because the bar is very low, Steve.
But it's factual.
You know, it's low. You got Warwick done. You know, you got Wilder, not Cal Brady. Vincent Jackson. I mean, they don't have Barry Sanders in their history. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I think you can do both, Lee. I think you can feed Evans and make sure that Godwin eats too.
Ira, did the Bucs screw up by not re-signing Evans when they had a chance to get it done a lot cheaper than it's going to be this offseason?
No, Steve, I'm not going to be a hypocrite and, be a dime store guy who looks back. They didn't know what kind of year they were going to have, Steve. They didn't know what kind of year Evans is going to have. Now it seems like it's a no-brainer. I think you got to keep the guy no matter what. If you were going to deal him, you would deal him at the trade deadline this year, and they didn't do it. And you know what? In retrospect, it looks like the right move. Can you imagine this offense without Evans?
3 wins.
Yeah. They'd be 3-9. Lee. They'd be 3-9. You're right.
Real quick about the entire offense. We're recording this on Tuesday night. Let's just say within about a 24 to 48 hour period, I'm done with the offense. I'm done. I watched that Monday night game, and I saw two backup quarterbacks. Both of them rung up 30 points. Both of them, their offenses ran smooth. Both of them, they didn't keep running between the tackles time and time again. Both threw the ball down the field. They didn't miss a beat. And so I'm done with this offense. I'm done with it. This offense stinks. They do not have to run between the tackles. They've got the weapons to throw. Why they don't throw all the time, I do not know. If Baker Mayfield can't throw the ball, well, then bring in let the Trask go nuts. This offense has zero excuse to be this crappy. I'm done with it. I don't care if it's Canales. I don't care if it's Bowles. I don't care if it's Mayfield. I don't care if it's Filer. I don't give a damn. No more excuses. If two scrub quarterbacks who hardly threw a freaking pass all year came in, I know Browning played for Cincinnati. I know he played a previous game. These scrubs can run an NFL offense without running between the tackles, mind you, and look damn good doing it. Enough already. Enough. No more excuses for the offense. Todd Bowles, you're on watch list. And as much as I love Dave Canales, you are too. Enough of this. No more.
Good passion, Lee. Outstanding passion. And to back up Lee a little bit, Steve, look what just happened. A game that the Bucs absolutely needed to win last Sunday. Carolina punted 8 times, Steve. 8 times. And the Bucs scored 21 points. 21 points. Lee. Steve, they can't get over the 21 point barrier. They can't do it.
It's all about points.
Can you score 30 points in a game, Steve? Is it possible? Atlanta's defense isn't bad. It's better than Carolina's, Steve. So I'm a little concerned about the offense going into Sunday's game.
Well, there's a lot to be concerned about with the quality of play of the team, but we're going to find out right now. I mean, that's really what Sunday is all about, is finding out what this team is all about as it relates to this season before they blow it up. Sage, either way, I think Bowles is dead man walking. The last question I have for you, Ira, and I know it's looking ahead, but it's kind of interesting as fans look at the NFC South. I think the reality is that Atlanta is going to be drafting a quarterback this year, and the reality is the Saints are going to be drafting a quarterback as well. They've soured on Derek Carr. A lot of analysts have said he's just been flat out not very good, and now he's proven to be injury prone, and he's a little bit older, entering his 11th year. So when you look about, you think about tanking or you think about positioning for the draft, I think it makes it very complicated when you may want to hire a new offensive coordinator and you've got 4 or 5 teams ahead of you in the queue in the draft who want a quarterback. It's like you can't even match up. We're going to target this guy and this coordinator, and it's really dicey. I just was curious your perspective on the division and the quarterbacks.
I don't think you're wrong, Steve. You wouldn't think Now, the Panthers don't have a first-round pick, so they're no factor. They're no factor.
No.
And I don't think they're giving up on Bryce Young, and they shouldn't. New Orleans is a mess. I mean, they're a mess. They don't know what's going on with Carr. The one great thing about Carr is he never gets hurt. This year, he's been hurt a little bit. We see what's going on in Atlanta. They don't have any confidence in Ridder as the guy going forward. Heinicke didn't do much, and once he replaced Ridder, he lost his job in 2 weeks. Lee, Heinicke couldn't stick.
Well, he pulled the hamstring, Ira. He pulled the hamstring.
Yeah, he pulled the hamstring. So, Lee, this is a wild draft. It's a wild draft. And here's a couple other factors. Justin Fields, what's going on with Fields? Yep. They stick with him. If they stick with him, they probably would be interested in trading down. And that could be a break for teams like the Bucs, Saints, and Falcons. It's wild at the top. You don't know where Arizona's looking at things. I think they stick with Kyler Murray. I don't think they draft a quarterback. We shall see. Murray's not great, Lee, but I'm not giving up on him if I'm Arizona. Give him better players. Yeah, big investment. It's wild, Lee. You got the Giants. Nobody knows what's going on there. The Jets. Who knows what the Jets are thinking? This is going to be a wild, wild offseason. And your point is great, Steve. If there's a house cleaning, you want that new coach in January. You want him to get his staff early. And meanwhile, you got all these unknowns. Hey, who's your quarterback next year, Jason Light? Who's your quarterback? Well, what's Light going to tell him? I mean, is he going to say we're drafting Jaden Daniels? How do you know? How do you know exactly. Somebody? How do you know somebody above you isn't taking him? It's very dicey right now, Stevie. Very dicey. My answer: Trask to the rescue! Bum, ba, da, bum. just kidding, guys. Just kidding. But I'm sticking to my gun, Steve. You lose to Atlanta. You make a change.
All right,
let's see what the kids got.
All right, Sage. Look, Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. As we heard previously, 0% financing for 72 months on F-150s, 2023s. That's an in-house offer. The Curry family's buying down the interest. So, man, is it incredible? And they've got many other offers as well. BillCurryFord.com. Thank you, Big Storm Beer. Big Storm Beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast, that Palm Bender, Ira, that IPA, fantastic. See them all at BigStormBrewery.com. And we heard about our great friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. Disaster strikes, whatever it is in your home or at your business property, you call them 24/7, get a free, high-tech, top-shelf, honest evaluation of what's happening before you call your insurance company and screw up. FloridasEliteRestoration.com. All right, Ira, look, that Trask, bump-a-da-bump, whatever you did there, that was fantastic. Say goodbye to the good say goodbye to the good fans, and we'll talk to them before Atlanta plays the Bucs.
Big game, guys, big game. We're going to be there up front and personal, and you're not going to find better coverage than right here, Joe Bucs fan.